Hear God's word to us from the 11th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Dear loved ones, it's been a wonderful year for us in every way. Our youngest grandchild graduated magna cum laude from kindergarten. Her teenage brother raced in the Tour de France for the second time. And you remember our daughter, who once looked so adorable in pigtails? This past year, she received the Presidential Medal of Honor, competed in her fourth triathlon, won the Pillsbury Bake Off, and gave birth to triplets. As for us, we are blessed with great teeth, flat abdomens, and wrinkle-free complexions. We very much enjoyed our private audience with the Pope in the spring. If that message or some version of it hasn't arrived in your mailbox yet, you know it's coming. The ubiquitous Christmas letter in which we all try to put a good face on whatever the last 12 months may have brought. Now, were we to tell the truth, those letters might sound something more like this. Dear friends, family, and people that don't fit into either category. It was a decade ago when we managed to write our last Christmas letter. Here's an update. Our daughter is 9. And that means everything I ever did as a child is now showing up in my life, reincarnated as a smaller, more stubborn, more rebellious, more determined version of me. Our son is 6. He finally learned how to ride his bike, can't hold still for more than 2 seconds, and asks 45 questions a minute. Also, he doesn't forget anything. Ever. Ever. Except that you asked him to put his shoes on 5 times. That he fails to recall. As for us, we are still married, but just barely. We tried a couple of vacations, neither of which turned out any good. After about 18 hours of fighting, we just called it off, came home, and watched Netflix. Seriously, we are doing well. Surprisingly well. We're happily married, except when Brad leaves the seat up. Everybody is healthy and content, and we all enjoy having friends like you. That's never the letter we get. But it's a whole lot closer to the truth of our messy existence than the first one. What is it about human nature that makes us want to paint our lives as flawless and impeccable and exemplary, straight off the pages of Southern Living or out of Chip and Joanna Gaines' HGTV set? If our lives don't reflect that, we're going to make darn sure that our Christmas letters do. Flawless, impeccable, and exemplary were hardly words you would describe to use the people of Jerusalem 1,000 years ago. This prophecy from Isaiah 11 dates from the 8th century BCE, when Isaiah warns the Israelites of coming destruction because they have wandered away from God and the life God desires of them. and God will stop at nothing to get their attention and summon them back into relationship. Last week we heard from Isaiah 2 about the nations streaming to the holy mountain of Zion, the city of Jerusalem. This week we hear about the coming kingdom to be governed by a righteous ruler where all creation will live in peace. But in between those two chapters, things don't look like anybody's carefully curated Christmas card. Chapter 11 opens in the forest after the prophecy of how God will level Jerusalem in judgment. The loftiest and hardiest trees are cut down. God hacks at the thickets with an axe. Stumps dot the landscape. Wood is scattered helter-skelter. It is eerily silent. And then the wind blows. The barest hint of new life, a small shoot from a stump, reaches skyward from the devastation. With a tender branch, the prophet proclaims that God will usher in a future that is not predicated on the human past. That image extends into verses 6 and following, where the prophet describes what we refer to as the peaceable kingdom, a restored, reconciled creation in which brutality is tamed and death is overcome. The oldest of enemies, the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the calf and the lion, the bear and the cow, the lion and the ox, all those enemies become friends. Isaiah 11 shows what we did not think possible. The wind of God has brought newness. And a little child shall lead them. That peace seems so elusive, but it's what we crave in this Advent season. That's why we love the music the choir is singing this morning. Wexford Carol and Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. These are not big, bombastic Sousa marches or Beethoven's Fifth or the swagger of the Russian composers. No, at Christmas, the music itself echoes the peace we long for. Silent night, holy night. But peace doesn't come easily, and it certainly doesn't come at no cost. The Christmas story says that peace comes to our world when a teenage girl is willing to believe an angel whose message threatens to throw her life into total scandal. Peace comes when shepherds risk rejection and magi lay aside wealth and power to follow a star. Peace comes when people of privilege dare to challenge the status quo, even when it makes them uncomfortable or unwelcome. Peace is not glossing over injustice, but paying attention when our secure incomes or our acceptable skin color provide us benefits at the expense of others. Peace comes because a baby born in a stable is willing to die on a cross. Peace comes when we no longer have to pretend that we are perfect, because we discover that we are deeply, fully, completely loved with all our flaws and imperfections. So if this Christmas season leaves you feeling that your life doesn't look like what you hoped, take heart. Isaiah says you're in good company. Peace comes when we least expect it, from places we would never imagine. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you.